Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. This is the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series, ALDS, Game 4, Instant Reaction. Red Sox win 6-5, and they win the series as well, 3-1, and that puts an end to the 100-win Rays a lot earlier than I think anybody would have expected, but it is what it is. Two-man pod tonight. It's myself, Brett Rutherford, and I'm joined by his first appearance on the playoff podcast series. I don't know if you did one last year or not, but Jared Ward, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. I was on one of the Game 5 ALDS of last year, where I think it was the Holden last time, and we were all freaking out, but first time this year. Bitter, really.
Yeah, definitely bitter. And I don't really know where to start because I think, we could talk about the season as a whole. We could talk about tonight's game or the series. But ultimately, I'll throw out my take. I mean, I think in a 5-game series, we know going in, there's just so much variance. The best team doesn't always win. And I'm not saying that the Rays were definitively a better team than the Red Sox. I'm not going to come out here and make excuses. I think the Red Sox were very deserving of a win. They had 12 hits tonight and a boatload of hits in the first 3 games, and end up, winning one game really comfortably and played and pitched very well in 2 other games that they were able to sneak out close. And tonight they win by a run, but ultimately I'm at peace with this ending. I think the way the game was going early on, I was more heartbroken then than when I was at the end of the game. Jared.
Yeah, for the first 5 innings, we were down 5-1, really. And so once the Red Sox went up 5 in the third inning, it was like, okay, season is done. Let me work through my emotions of sad and angry and things like that. And then we get a sacrifice fly. And then Wander Franco hits a 2-run home run. Then all of a sudden, now we can get into it. In the 7th, score 2 more runs, and now it's a tie game with a runner on. I think it was a runner on second with nobody out, so a chance to take the lead. It didn't happen. We had big bats come up in big spots and all series, and they unfortunately didn't deliver. And I know there's some questions about some managerial decisions and some decisions this game that we can certainly walk through.
Yeah, I think there are some questions to be had of Kevin Cash, as always. I always criticize him, even if I find myself agreeing with him. I think, okay, wait a second, was that necessarily the best move? And we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's go ahead and start with the start of the game. Colin McHugh gets the start, goes 2 shutout innings. Then the move is to go to Shane McClanahan, mm-hmm. who was going to be pitching on short rest. He didn't start. I guess that was the decision that was made, but Cash said he said after the game, he was expecting Shane to pitch the bulk of the innings, whether that be 2+, 3, 4, who knows. And Shane just didn't have it. And I don't know if it was because he was coming out of the bullpen. I know he did that in last year's postseason. I don't know if it was on short rest, or the Red Sox just have a really damn good lineup. But he gave up 5 earned runs on 5 hits and mm-hmm. was shelled. And my take on that is Shane McClanahan was your best pitcher, your best starting pitcher. And if he's not getting it done, I'm not going to be upset about. You know, it's not like they put out Michael Wacha in a big game, in a big situation, and he gave up five. If Shane couldn't get it done, then it didn't really matter at all.
And, you know, this, we all had our, we were all excited about having three rookies start the series, but we, you know, some of us were nervous about having three rookies start this series with McClanahan, Boz, and Rasmussen. But, you know, and I agree with you, McClanahan's your best shot at this point. I don't think you're going to throw, you know, Rasmussen at back to back. I don't think you're going to throw Boz in a really uncomfortable situation. He's your most trusted, most trusted starter. But I think the race pitching weaknesses were really exposed, and just their depth, really, to not have the pieces to get it done. But I do agree with you that I think McClanahan was our best option at that point. Sure, you could have, you know, in hindsight, I guess, pieced the bullpen together, but then you're trusting McClanahan towards the back end if you get back into it. So I think either way, we were seeing McClanahan at some point in this game.
Yeah, my only thought is, if you know McClanahan's throwing, because initially Cash had said that he was unavailable. We knew that that was probably not true. Then he says, well, he is available as an option. And then it turns out the plan was to use him to pitch the bulk of the innings. For a guy like McClanahan, who has now been a starter for the whole season and a really damn good one, I'm thinking it might have been best for him to start this game. And again, it could have went the same exact way as it did with him coming out of the bullpen. But I do believe for a lot of these pitchers, there is a level of comfortability with starting. And that's not a knock on like using an opener or anything. This wasn't that. McHugh was the starting pitcher. We knew he wasn't going to go more than two, maybe three. But I think getting Shane comfortable would have been the most important thing for this game.
Yeah, and the only thing I can think of to not start Shane is just not giving that advantage to the Red Sox of stacking right-handers. And then with McHugh, you know McHugh's going to come out at some point, and you don't know who's coming in after that. So it leaves a little bit up to a guessing game. But I do wonder, with Shane having so much success starting, that definitely could have been an option, and it could have gone the same way. I'm not saying it would have gone better, but it could have gone the same way. But we'll never know. You know, it's always baseball is, I feel like, a game of what ifs, especially for this series.
Before we get into, let's go over this game, and then we can kind of talk about the season as a whole in this series. Obviously, you got what you got out of Andrew Kittredge. Mm-hmm. I thought Luis Patino looked really good. Fleming got an out. Pete Fairbanks, even though he didn't record a strikeout, looked incredible.
He really did.
Painting both corners with the fastball. And then J.P. Feireisen, who I don't think anybody would want him in that situation in the bottom of the ninth. But game four, we've used a lot of pitchers. There weren't really many other options.
I was going to say, who's the other option outside of that? Boz and Wacha?
I mean, and Boz is probably getting ready to start a game five. Boz is probably getting the ball to what would have been Wednesday if they had won this game, Boz or Wacha. I'm okay with that. And then the other... And Feireisen didn't get lit up or anything. Like,
no, and I think the box score really doesn't paint the full picture, because it was a missed grounder by Yandy, and it was a hard hit ball, and I'm sure it was a tough play, but hits the glove, goes into the outfield, and then the throw by Yandy to Choi that gets bounced in, and Choi can't hold on to it. He does a great job of smothering it. Tough play for Choi at first, puts, you know, runners on first and second with only, or I'm sorry, first and first and third with only one out at that point. So it's tough for Feireisen, but I don't think he did a bad job, really.
Yeah, Arroyo bunts Vasquez over, and then they end up on a dribbler, slow roller. I know some people were wondering why Joey Wendell wasn't in the game for Yandy Diaz. Mm-hmm. To those people, I say, have you ever seen Joey Wendell throw a baseball to G-Man Choi? It usually doesn't go well. It's like last postseason, I think that's why G-Man's been injured the whole year, his legs, because he was stretching and jumping to catch Joey Wendell's throws. Yandy Diaz is a Joey Wendell's a great defensive third baseman. Yandy Diaz is not a liability in the field. He's played great. He's got a great arm. That throw was a tough throw on a tough play. G-Man knocked it down, did everything he did to prevent the winning run from scoring on that play. And ultimately, you know, then they end up moving the guy to second and they get the sac fly to win the game. There was questions of whether or not Kike Hernandez should have been walked. The guy didn't advance to second until you had him 0-1. So walking a guy with an 0-1 count, I don't know. Jared, what would you have done if you were Kevin Cash?
I think in Kevin Cash's mind, the run is scoring, whether the bases are, like, if it's a sac fly, if the bases are loaded, the run's scoring no matter what. And if, I guess you could play double play ball and hope for a ground ball pitcher, but mm-hmm. or ground ball pitch to make the double play, but that you're also facing Rafael Devers, who hit a 3-run home run earlier in the game. Right. So it's
their best
kind
hitter.
It's kind of pick your poison, facing Kike Hernandez or facing Rafael Devers, who's just been, you know, on fire. Both of them really have been on fire this whole series.
Yeah, and I know Kike Hernandez has been their hottest hitter for the last four games, or three games, really. I don't think he got a hit at the Trop in game one. Mm-hmm. But Rafael Devers is their best hitter. Yep. And I know he was working through injury, but all you have to do is see the ball that he parked off of Shane McClanahan against a fastball from a left-handed pitcher, which he mm-hmm. literally never does. Like, I don't think he had done it in a long time. Once he hit that, I think whatever he was working through with that wrist, maybe he had to tweak his swing a little bit. He had worked through it. Hernandez is still the guy you'd rather face. You've already got one strike on him.
Yeah,
maybe the right move is to walk him. I think these are minuscule decisions.
Yeah.
Which still deserve criticism because that's what happens in the postseason. We're playing within the margins here.
And I think, again, it's kind of that pick your poison of, do you want to face Devers, who, you know, hit a 3-run home run off you against, and lefty Devers off a right-handed Fire Eisen, or do you, you know, play those matchups of against Kike Hernandez, who's been hot, but hasn't been their hottest hitter over the full season. I think it's, again, minuscule details, the bases loaded with one out, or somebody's still on third. So I think that run is still scoring no matter what, but
After last night, so last night you have, I know Danny and Jamal talked a lot about it, but that play in the 13th inning, ball bounces off of Hunter Renfro's thigh and maybe cost the Rays the game. We'll never know. Just a weird play, once in a lifetime play. Maybe I don't know if we'll ever see a play like that, quite like that, in that situation. One, because they'll probably change the rule this offseason. But two, it was just a weird, wonky play. You lose in 13 innings. Tonight, it was going to feel real bad after that 5-run third, if it had gotten ugly. At Fenway Park, we could feel the momentum building. Once they got to 5-5, and let me preface this by saying, obviously I wanted the Rays to win. Once it got to 5-5, at that point, with all the excitement in the series, going back to game one, which feels like it was weeks ago, but going back to game one, this was an incredible series. I didn't enjoy watching it in real time. Because it was extremely frustrating, nerve-wracking. The Rays had a lot of frustrating at-bats. It seems like the Red Sox were hitting everything. Bad breaks. Ron Culpa tonight was just horrible to watch him call balls and strikes. He had a terrible game. I'm really interested to see that umpire scorecard. But you have the moment like last night in the 13th, both sides. You have the Kevin Kiermaier throw. You had Randy Arozarena going back to game one. He stole home, hit a home run. Nelson Cruz won off the catwalks. Wander Franco was the best player on the field. But then you have him put the winning, would have been the go-ahead run in scoring position by skying a ball into the dugout. But it's okay because Kevin Kiermaier is going to bail him out. There was so much excitement in this series. And when it was 5-5 in the late innings, at that point, I was pretty much at peace.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I think kind of that it plays into that. Well, we were down 5-0 and then it comes back. And with that Wander play, what I did love about it was he skies it and Yandy Diaz just immediately goes over to him, consoles him on the field, says, hey, it's okay. And then Kevin Kiermaier bails him out on a really, really close play at third base, which honestly, if it had been called safe, I don't think it would have been overturned, but for the Rays' benefit this time, he was called out, and call stood and was not overturned.
Yeah, I think he was out. I think his mitt hovered over the glove for a split second while Yandy still had the tag.
Yep, and I'm think
not
that's
sure, but I think that's what it was.
And I think that's a little bit of either redemption or payback, or I don't know how you want to look at it, for that Manuel Margot being tagged out at trying to steal second base in game three.
Yeah, that, Kiermaier though, what a great game he had last night. I mean, he came up big with the big double. Could have been more. Tonight had a two hit game with two doubles. And had that incredible throw.
Yeah, and I think for all the Kiermaier doubters, I think he really proved those doubters wrong with a cannon of an arm and some amazing defensive plays, even early in the game. I think there was the fourth inning where it was all three hits straight to Kiermaier. So one, two, three inning. Yeah. So some really great plays in the outfield this series for Kevin, and really some welcome offense as well. So I think his cockiness and his attitude about being the best defensive center fielder in baseball was very warranted this game.
And you want that mm-hmm. that cockiness in those moments. You know, that ball, again, I got kind of nervous for a second. Him and Randy were converging on the same fly ball that led to Verdugo being thrown out. I think Evan Longoria just hit a home run, which is cool. I've seen a couple tweets about it. So we are rooting for Evan Longoria now. At least I think you are, Jared.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, solo home run for Evan Longoria.
For really anybody but the Red Sox. if Willie and the Milwaukee Brewers make it against Evan and the Giants, then I'll be rooting hardcore for one of those guys to get a ring.
Yeah. Kevin Kiermaier, this is not going to be an off-season pod. We're instant reacting. Do you think this could have been his last game with the team?
I don't have his contract off the.
He's got more year owed at $12.5 million. I want to say, don't quote me on that. And then another team option, which has got a $2.5 million buyout, or another year at $12.5 million.
And I mean, I think it wouldn't surprise me either way to see that. I think it would be, you know, especially with his performance recently in the postseason. I don't know if that boosts his trade value at all. I think he is worth it at $12 million just based on defense alone, but the question is, you know, for the Rays, it's always that retooling. So is there an in-house replacement that is cheaper for the Rays to reproduce that? I don't know, but I think it's definitely a possibility that we saw his last game as a Ray.
Yeah, and if it is, what a last game to have. I hope he's back. Mm-hmm. I've been high on Kiermaier this whole season, really most of his Rays career, while others aren't. And I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think this year, really, he kind of got his bat warm again. He wasn't a terrible hitter. He was learning to hit the other way, not into the shift. So I think his bat woke up a little bit this year, but I've always been a Kiermaier defender.
Let's move on and talk about, again, some of the problems this series. Starting pitching, guys that didn't need, you know, nobody was expected to pitch 16 plus innings in this series. You know, nobody was expected to even go 12 plus innings really in this series, you know, 2 6 inning starts. But it was clear that the Rays could have maybe used one more starter. I'm not saying, like, obviously Tyler Glass now getting injured was not ever on the books. And with him, you feel a lot more comfortable about the team in this series. But the other one is Charlie Morton, who is a guy they just declined his $15 million option to let him go pitch for another team.
It is, I think, a very big glaring mistake. Kind of the elephant in the room of, well, we had starting pitching run really thin the whole season, really. Charlie Morton has really an incredible record in elimination games. And just letting him walk for $15 million, I think, is something that should be reflected on, but he would have been very welcome in the in the rotation for this playoff push, a veteran presence for a lot of the young guys too.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not like going to knock on Drew Rasmussen or Shane Baz. Like Drew Rasmussen wasn't even a starter, not well after the Reds acquired him. Yeah, I mean, like he had pitched as a starter in the minors a little bit, and he'd been stretched out a little bit, but it took time for the Rays to really stretch him out. And then Shane Baz, he had three big league starts, and then you're asking him to start game two of the ALDS. That's a big
ask. A very good Boston team, like against a very, you know, Boston team that's gone to the World Series together before, gone to the World Series and won before. Right. So a really experienced Boston team. I think it's asking a lot of the starting pitching.
And I think I wouldn't have been less confident in Shane Baz if he got the ball tomorrow for game five. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be a lot more confident in him. I think he would have had a lot of those nerves out of his system. Ultimately we'll never know what would have happened. And then the two bats, and we have to talk about, and I know these postseason narratives persist, but two bats that were, well, let's start with Brandon Lau, another 0-for-4 night with three strikeouts.
Did he have a hit this series?
No.
No. I think he went like 0-for-20, 0-for-21.
And I'll say this. I think Brandon Lau throughout the season was the Rays' best hitter. And I don't think it was close. I mean, Wander Franco was just as good at the end of the year. But Brandon Lau over the full course of the season was the Rays' best hitter, which makes what happens in the postseason inexplicable. And the fact that it's happened back-to-back years, I'm really like at a loss for words there.
Yeah, it took till game six of the World Series last year for his bat to finally figure it out and come alive. But, you know, it reminded me a lot of the run we made last year. Like, you know, that questionable decision to pull Blake Snell in game six to go to Nick Anderson, who's been your best reliever. And, you know, Brandon Lau for the past two postseasons hasn't really shown up, but he's been your best hitter all season. How do you not put that bat in the lineup? You know, he got you here. He had 39 home runs and I think 99 RBIs on the season. So how do you not put the best bat, even if he's struggling, because you know he's going to fit, you know, once he figures it out, it's over. And so I struggle with the, you know, not putting Brandon Lau in, or maybe, you know, I thought it was interesting he batted him third today. I thought, okay, maybe he batted him six with the lefty Eduardo Rodriguez going on for the Red Sox. So, but I think he got you to 100 wins. He helped the team get to 100 wins. How do you not have that bat in the lineup every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think moving him down in the lineup is almost just as much a hit of his confidence as it was to see him struggle like that. And it's tough, you know. You can't make decisions based on three games, and it's really tough. And I'm really happy the Rays have a manager that doesn't do things like that. Like, he knows his team very well, and he's not going to be swayed by media or by the you know, the crowd, or by how, but one game goes or the other game goes. But it is disappointing, and I am almost starting to wonder, like, is there something like upstairs going on with Brandon Lau? I'm not like trying to diagnose it with anything here, but I'm saying, like, it's still a very small sample size in the postseason for him, but at the same time, it's not. Like, nobody gets large sample sizes in the postseason. That's just not awarded to anyone except for, like, Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. I don't know. And I really, like I said, it's inexplicable. The at-bats just looked uncompetitive, and they did as well for Nelson Cruz, who was a disappointment, I think, this season. He's a free agent. Who knows if he'll be back? But I wanted to say that I'm still happy they made that trade.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, like, we were stoked when we acquired him because he was one of the best bats on the market, and we saw that as the Rays going for it, right, to get that big bat in the lineup. And I think I still make that trade. 10 out of 10 times, I think that it's just one of those things where, like you said, not a huge postseason track record, and the bats went the Pats went cold, and that's what we love and hate about the postseason, right? It's that even the best team doesn't always make it through, and it's kind of a crapshoot. And unfortunately, I think with the two of the biggest impact bats, I think other bats, obviously Randy Rosarena still really Mr. October in the postseason, but really those two big bats that we're really counting on when Brandon Lau and Nelson Cruz just didn't show up. And even Mike Zunino, you know, he can be really streaky sometimes too, but even him, I think he went 1-for-17 or 2-for-17 in the postseason, where he, you know, didn't he have 32, 35 home runs on the season, didn't make an impact either. So you have three big bats in the lineup that helped you get there to the postseason that just all went cold at the same time. And that sucks.
It is. And that's just how it goes. I mean,
that's why we love it.
Yeah. And I said that, I tweeted that out before we came on. I was like, this pain, this is what we sign up for. Especially in these 5-game series. And again, I'm not making excuses for the Rays. The Red Sox were the better team over 4 games. I don't think by a lot. Like, I think it was a very close series.
I think that Games 3 and Game 4 could have very well have gone into the Rays' favor, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was very close, especially, you know, when you take a team to 13 innings in one game and then a tie game into the bottom of the ninth, you know, especially after being down 5-0. And, you know, it's just it's a coin flip sometimes. I think on the podcast yesterday, it said, you know, the team that wins Game 3 after splitting the first two, it's a 54% chance. It's still coin flip and just didn't flip in the Rays way. But I do believe that I think a big part of this postseason loss and this early exit was because of those big bats just not showing up. Because if Brandon Lau has a 2-for-4 game, you know, or
hits at any point yesterday or today,
it would have been a completely different story.
But like that eighth inning, Randy Rosarena doubles and there's still nobody out. And you have Wander Franco, who did his part in more in this series, Brandon Lau, and Nelson Cruz.
Those are the three guys you want. Those are the three guys you want in that situation. And it just didn't deliver.
And even if with all those struggles, those are the guys you want. And it just didn't happen. That's a disappointment. I am very upset. And I don't want this to come off like we're just like writing this series off. Oh, I'm mad. Like yesterday's game, after yesterday's game, I didn't want to watch baseball. I haven't looked at any other scores. The only update I have from outside of the Rays series was that Longoria home run. Like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, that always happens to me in the DS when the Rays are playing. I don't have the mental bandwidth to look at all these other series. Once it gets to the CS, you know, I'll keep an eye on the National League, and the Rays only made the CS twice. But, like, there's 4 series going on. It's not even about time. I don't have the mental energy to look at all these other series. And this one was just so exhausting. But at the end of the day, for a neutral, I think it was just had to be incredible drama.
It really was a dramatic series. And, you know, the Rays have been a part of now 2 back-to-back really memorable series. And I'm going to take that every day of the week. No matter what the heartbreaking outcomes, I'm going to take, being in it all the way up until the end, and losing versus getting blown out like in Game 2. Like if we had another Game 2, I would have been, I think, more sad and disappointed. But I think, don't get me wrong, I'm very disappointed and I'm very sad. But I think it would have been exponentially worse if we had just gotten, steamrolled by Boston in the ALDS. But I still love the game. I'm still, I saw a couple of tweets saying, you know, the Dodgers have gone to the postseason how many times and they've won once.
Right.
So, and this is the start of a very young, very talented core. I mean, Wander Franco is already making an impact, has a pretty good bid for Rookie of the Year. It's going to be Randy, but it has a great bid to challenge his own teammate for Rookie of the Year. You have Randy, young core of pitchers who will hopefully get use this postseason experience to, you know, further the race playoff hopes for next year, because that's all we can really do right now is just hope for another chance at it.
Yeah, and we'll briefly touch on that. I don't think, this is not going to be an off-season pod, but you look at this lineup, this roster, and there's always going to be one or two or more moves that we're not expecting. But at this point in time, you know, Randy Rosarena back, Wander Franco back, Brandon Lau back, Austin Meadows probably back.
Is Brandon Lau back?
I think Brandon Lau will be back. I think it'd be a move that shocks people.
Yeah, I don't think, for the record, I don't think we would trade him because of his postseason performance. And I do believe that he is one of, if not the best hitter on our team. So I don't think he'll be traded, but the value and the trade offer might be too good to resist. We might see a Blake Snell type, you know, not type return, but just a Blake Snell type shocker of a trade.
They'll take it. It needs to be an offer they can't refuse or one they're just really not expecting. But you've also got like Vidal Brujan and Taylor Walls, and they at some point like next year are going to either need to be contributing to the Rays big league roster or probably someone else's. It's going to be a lot, but there's such a talented group. You're without Tyler Glass now for a full year next year.
But you have Yanni Chirinos coming back.
Yes, you do. You walk Michael Wacha back to free agency. Chris Archer back to free agency. You've got McClanahan and Boz. Ryan Yarbrough, you have to make a decision with. Josh Fleming, are these guys you want to take with you moving forward? You've got guys coming up still like Tommy Romero, amongst others. There's a lot of question marks, but I think what you're trying to say is this window is still open for the Rays. And I know a lot of people wanted to do it this year because it feels like this clock is ticking with the stadium saga and the flirting with Montreal. We're still a few years away from anything happening there. The lease goes through 2027. I know the leases can change. But moving forward, after we get through the pain of tonight and the pain of this postseason, the future is still very, very bright for this Rays team.
Yeah, it really is, and there's a lot to be excited about. It just didn't end the way we wanted to, and it wasn't really, I think it wasn't the performance that we were, except for game one. Game one was amazing, but it really wasn't the performance that we were so used to seeing throughout this whole season. And, you know, it fell flat, and just was a disappointment, really. I didn't think we were going to steamroll Boston either, but I wasn't expecting this. I had the Rays in 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, and I don't know how much there is to say. It's an instant reaction, so after I have time and we all have time to process a little bit, there'll be more off-season podcasts. We'll touch on this series. We'll touch on this season as a whole, which I won't rule as a success. Getting back to the World Series, I think winning another pennant, it would have been a success for me, even if they didn't win at all. But it's definitely not a failure. You broke a franchise record in regular season wins. You're going to add a Rookie of the Year, and you've got Wander Franco, who's already the best player on your team. You've got a young core. Like we said, the window is wide open. Not a success, but a very, very good season.
It was a very, very good season. I think a lot of the things and issues we saw earlier in the season, and I'm not trying to end on a negative note, but it's just a glaring kind of hole of like, man, it would have been so nice to have Charlie Morton for this season.
And out of all the criticisms that you will see on Twitter, you will see on other Rays podcasts, on Rays sites, and even D-Rays Bay, I think decisions like that, the Charlie Morton decision, and we won't end on this, but it was purely based on money. Right, the Blake Snell trade was made for a completely different reason. Blake Snell was only making $10 million a year. I think it was a little bit backloaded. The Charlie Morton decision was purely based on money, and it could have potentially hurt the Rays this postseason.
It really could have. And I think another decision that was really interesting, and I don't know if it was because they valued defense or Mike Zunino's relationship with the super young pitcher, we didn't see Francisco Mejia at all this series.
And he had a great season.
And he was a big, I think, for me, and maybe he's just because I remember all of him and all of these clutch hits throughout the season. But I feel like he was a big reason why we were here in this season. And just to see him not in the in the postseason at all kind of really was strange, especially when you had a righty on righty and Mejia being a switch hitter, you know, batting lefty in Fenway Park. It's just, we'll never know. We'll never know what happened. He could have had the same outs as Mike Zunino did, but just a really interesting decision to not play Francisco Mejia.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And I know like who would it have been last year? Michael Perez.
Yeah.
With the no off days, and Perez did hit a home run in the postseason last year. He hit one in San Diego. With the no off days, and you're playing five straight games and then seven straight games, made things really tough this year with Zunino getting the off days. I know there were some matchups. Maybe Mejia works out better. I'm okay. I'm very okay with sticking with Zunino. But yeah, I would have been. I feel bad a little bit for Mejia because he played such a huge role. One of the key additions to bringing this team to 100 wins. This has been, in terms of the regular season, the best 3-year stretch in franchise history. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for any franchise to put up a 3-year stretch like this, going 96, then a 667 win percentage in a short season, and then 100 wins. It's incredibly difficult. He was a key part of that. So I feel a little bit bad for him, but ultimately I think I also feel bad for Brett Phillips, who wasn't on the roster altogether. And again, he was another really big part of this team. I know we talk about all the off the field stuff, but Brett Phillips, the baseball player, is still very good and would be a starting center fielder for a lot of other teams, I think. So for him to be left off the roster, I think is a bit of a, I think it's a testament to the Rays' depth. But yeah, this one hurts, you know, losing to the Red Sox. Does.
And it's to the Red Sox too. Yeah. Like it's like, oh, you know, if it was the White Sox or even the Astros, it's been like, you know, whatever. But it's to a division rival, you know, it sucks. It sucks so bad.
Yeah, it does. And part of me like just never expected the season to be over at this point in the month. Yeah, like I didn't think it was possible, and baseball has a funny way of just humbling you, putting you right back in your place.
And you know, maybe we weren't, because we were like, oh yeah, you know, first team to ever roll with three rookies in for the first three games. We're like, that's awesome. And then Danny Russell was like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. So maybe we were just a little too overconfident as well.
Yeah, well. Jared, do you have any other final thoughts on the series, the game, or the season?
It was a fun season, a disappointing ending, but I'm excited for next year.
Yeah, me too. And it was a really fun season here on the D-Rays Bay Podcast Network, doing Raise Your Voice. We had a couple hit shows, some podcast specials for some instant reactions, like when the Nelson Cruz trade went down. We snuck in a few Who's on Worst episodes where we reviewed bad baseball movies. If you haven't checked that out, please do. It's great. Ashley and Darby just do an incredible job with that. I am merely a passenger on that show. They carry it, and it is incredible. And then the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast series. We had guests lined up. We were ready to do this for a whole month. At the end, we got like 5 episodes in, but it was still a lot of fun. And I want to thank each and every one of you that ever downloaded an episode this year or listened, that interacted on the comments section or on Reddit or on Twitter or wherever. Thank you very much. And on DRaysBay.com, we're heading into the off season, which in some ways is even a busier time on the site with the coverage. I know Darby and Lizzie did the game diary and the game recap today, and I kind of glanced over them while we've been recording, and they're worth a read. It's a cathartic read. And you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. There's going to be more baseball next year. Well, there's gonna be more baseball this year. I don't know if I have any energy to watch it, but there's going to be some exciting stuff. And I just want to, you know, once again, thank you to everyone for listening. And might take a little break here, but I'll talk to you soon in the off season.